Good afternoon. Brett did such a good job of reading that scripture. So good, I felt like I should say something about it. I should teach from it somehow. I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. I love that part because there are really three players in this story, this sort of parable of the vine and the vine dresser and the branches, and that is one, of course, the branches, us, the vine, Jesus, and the Father, who's the caretaker of the vineyard, the vine dresser. But it's really interesting to me that Jesus says that I am the true vine. In other words, there's no other vine. The vine is the source of life for the branches, and then, of course, the branches bear their fruit, but Jesus is saying that he's only the real true source of life. There is no other root system. There is no other vine that's really going to bring life to a human being. We were created for him. But I love the fact that he identifies the vine dresser not as God, though, of course, the Father is God. He doesn't address the vine dresser as Jehovah or Lord. He says, and my Father is the vine dresser. So remember that one of Jesus's primary assignments in his life on earth was to reveal the truth about the Father, because the religious atmosphere of the day was their understanding of the Father, God, is that he wasn't Father. He was Yahweh, he was Jehovah, he was holy, he was perfect. There were rules to be kept and consequences for not keeping them. And Jesus came to reveal the truth that God is Father and that he's good. So in this chapter 15, which is just a part of a conversation, about a 10-minute conversation that Jesus had with the disciples in the upper room. It wouldn't take long on that to speak all these words, 10, 15 minutes. He's just got through saying to Philip, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, why do you say, show us the Father? When you've been with me so long, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And again, Jesus wasn't saying that he was the Father, but he was saying, I've very intentionally revealed the truth about the Father. It's the Father who's done the works in me, he says in that very scripture. Just a couple of minutes before he says this, he says, it's the Father in me who does his works. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So what is it about the Father that they've seen in Jesus? What are the kind of works the Father did through Jesus to reveal himself? Healing, not condemning the woman caught in adultery, coming to the woman at the well, going out of his way, far out of his way, geographically, by foot, many, many, many miles, to go to Samaria, a place forbidden for Jews to go to, and speaking to a woman, which was forbidden for a Jew to do, and she was a Samaritan woman, which was, you're forbidden to speak to a Samaritan, and she was a woman who'd been married 5 times, was now living with a man, so another forbidden thing, and yet Jesus goes there to meet her, to change her life. Nicodemus and the man born blind in chapter 9, the man who had been crippled for 38 years that Jesus healed on the Sabbath, regardless of whether that was a popular thing for him to do or not, and the nobleman's servant. And over again, we see this demonstration of the Father, that this Father that Jesus revealed was one who was good. And he talks about his love. And Jesus said he abided in the Father's love. And so Jesus was doing, when Jesus says, let me just read this scripture to you. I'm actually well now, but I like the way my voice sounds like this, so I decided to keep it this way. Yeah, I sound famous somehow. It says in verse 8, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, we'll talk about this next week, but Jesus is saying that what were the Father's commandments? Jesus did those things he saw the Father doing. He's only said those things he heard the Father saying. And as the words of the Father abided in him, and Jesus was obedient to those things. He went to the woman at the well. He said the things the Father was saying. He was abiding in the Father's love and giving it away. It was like this flow, overflow, this pool of living water springing up out of Jesus. And so I love that. Jesus said that I've kept my Father's commandments, and that's because I've been abiding in his love. And everything that you've seen happen is because I've been abiding in his love, and I've been an artesian well of that. So when Jesus says the Father is the vine dresser, and when you read some of the things in here, if you don't understand what Jesus has just said and the context of who he's described this Father to be, this one who is love, then you would think things like, well, he takes it away and he does this and he burns it and he does that kind of stuff. But that's not what's saying it here at all. And it's because people don't understand the true nature of God. Even really good men and women who translate Bibles and who teach stuff, they translate things sometimes that miss it because their perception of who God is. That's why A.W. Tozer said the most important thing about every human being is what they believe about God. Well, what you believe about God doesn't make who God is, but who God is should make you believe what you believe. But people create their own gods. They don't start with him. They start with their own perspective. And so when he says, this is just a short little word, but all that was to say this: I'm the true vine, my Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. We mentioned the other day that the word prune is actually the Greek word cleanse. Every branch that bears fruit, he cleanses it. But the word here, he says, every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. The actual Greek word is he lifts it up. So what happens is, in a grape tree or grape vine, sometimes it looks very much like a tree trunk, they're really gnarly looking, and that you'll have some of the branches sag down, and then they start running on the ground, and they can't really bear much fruit at all. They can't bear fruit because they're being oppressed by the ground, and they try to take root themselves into the ground. And so what the vine dresser will do, he'll come and lift it up gently. Doesn't want to break it. He'll lift it up and attach it to a trestle or attach it to a stick or a pole he puts in the ground. So it's now lifted up and get all the sunshine it needs and not get drowned in the rain and rot sitting on the ground. It'll get all the sunshine and the right kind of moisture and have the right connection to the vine so they can start bearing fruit again. That's the Father. And so when God finds Christians, we know Christians, sometimes we'll talk about people and you're like, oh, you're kidding me. I can't believe we're doing that. You know, but that's not what God ever does. That's the truth. He really does. I can't believe he ever does that. And never has a conversation with anger in his voice or criticism in his voice. His heart is, oh my goodness, how can we go pick that person up? How do we lift them up and put them in position so that they can start bearing fruit again? Because that's what they were created for. I love that about him. And then the other thing is, it's sad that when he prunes, we always think of pruning as in terms of clipping, and so cutting, so we just relate that immediately to, so when you go through hard times, that's God's pruning stuff in your life because he knows you've been a fruit bearer and he wants you to bear more fruit. And the good news is that if you're being pruned, it's proof that you are a fruit bearer. It's not a sign that God's mad at you or that you've done something wrong. Like if you're going through some battles or some warfare or some stuff and situations going on around you, it's evidence of the fact that you're bearing fruit and that God wants you to bear much fruit, more fruit, much fruit. But the reality is that the word, again, is to cleanse. And vine dressers will use that term, though they'll use their clippers. They'll just trim some of the trash between the little, on the branches that get there. And then the things that get in the way that can hinder a branch. And they'll even cut some things down smaller so that what happens is when a branch is wounded like that, the vine wants to heal it. And so it sends more sap to the wounded place. And therefore, when next season comes along, it's more fruit-bearing. Now that's reality. But he says here, and you're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. The word clean and prune, same word. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, And so the reality is the way God cleanses us is through his words abiding in us. Now, he can use circumstances and situations to get our attention so he can speak to us. But I'll just give an example. And so if there are prophetic intercessors that are listening to this, you just go, hopefully this isn't working. Well, there you go. And I can be a very, very prophetic person, but sometimes, and I love prophetic intercessors. I have prophetic intercessors in my life. But I can just sort of have a weird grid about things, you know? Sort of like, in a good way, but like kind of weird and wacky kind of perspective. And I was riding down the road the other day, and I was thinking about something that somebody had told me who was a prophetic intercessor in general. And prophetic people can be weird anyway. If you read scripture, they just can be. I'm a little bit more like an Amos prophet. I don't do that as much, but still, you can do weird stuff. And I remember one time leaving, I went to go see Bob Jones, who's an internationally famous prophet. We walked in the door, and he said, oh, I can see blood coming out of the side of your mouth. You must have some puncture wound. I went, what are you talking about? He's the weirdest guy I've ever met. And for like 4 hours, it was just weirdness, but it was all accurate. But I was reading something about prophetic intercessors, and sometimes prophetic intercessors can be like, you know, if you go kill a bird, you know, and take one wing off of the one side and you pour milk on top of it, bury it in the bottom of a tree, and then do several circles around the tree, and then pray certain prayers, and it'll all get, things will get better. I'm like going, okay. And I remember a story one time, Sandra remember this, years ago at her house, they used to have the group, Wednesday night group used to meet at her house. And most of them were prophetic intercessors, led by Meg, who's my hero, and Cherry, and Shelby, and a bunch of them. And Woody and Kristen weren't dating, but he was supposed to bring something to them. And he comes to the back door, and I guess there's a window he can see, and he sees them with a broom in the kitchen. Now, he doesn't know they're trying to kill a bug, but he says, he calls me up, and he says, Dad, they're trying to fly around the room on a broom. What do I do? that's okay. They're prophetic intercessors, son. But anyway, I was just riding around talking to the Lord, and the Lord said, do you believe that teachers see through a glass darkly and don't always get it right? Oh, I said, well, yeah, of course. He said, so I guess prophetic intercessors do too? I said, oh, yeah, of course. And it doesn't matter if they get some stuff this way or that way because I filter out all that, same thing like I do with teachers, and I honor the fact that they have childlike faith and they go for it, and we'd be in real trouble without them. I said, yep, of course. So what is happening? His word is cleansing, pruning, and I'm repenting. I'm in coming to agreement with him. You know, I'm obeying his commandments. I'm abiding in his love and giving it away, and I'll never tease about that again or play, you know, in meaning it lets us owning my junk. That's just an example of what God does. Or you're getting offended with somebody and the Lord goes, I don't get offended. Oh. But sometimes God will allow circumstances or in the context of circumstances that are really tough, he'll use that to get our attention. He may not cause them, but he'll use that to get our attention so that we just have this flow of words coming to us. You ever notice that? You ever notice that in hard places, you press in more and you just grow so fast because there's all kind of cleansing going on. God's speaking so many things into your life. He's adjusting you. You're praying for situations to change and he's changing you. And then it doesn't matter to you whether the situation changes or not. That's just part of the way the Father does. He's a wonderful vine dresser. And he does it because he loves us and he wants us to bear fruit. Amen? Okay.